that have multiple times threatened my life. that's all I know.
That's
never happened.
Hello.
Hello.
Just realised I've not got my
hammer.
My hammer.
Just use your fist. Yeah.
Okay. Fine. Yeah. Breakpoint is episode 123. Ooh. I was thinking last night, isn't it crazy? We've done 123 episodes.
Mm.
Mad.
And we're still this bad at them.
Yeah. Can't
authentic,
argue with that.
Babe. Authentic. Not bad.
We're growing organically.
Roll.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Welcome back. Like and subscribe, please, guys. Not really seeing those subscribers going up. So like maybe, go on, you need to be a bit more enthusiastic.
No. Like and subscribe, please, guys.
Yeah. Cut that up. The show grow.
Like and subscribe, please, guys.
Why are you being a diva having your mic on the side?
Me and Dave do normally. It's just you two now.
It's that, just that right? Facing your face.
No,
it's getting told.
We're only doing 123. No, come on, pause that.
It's not lined up today.
Keep going. Cool agenda. Ripple is launching a stablecoin. Caitlin Long, she says a witch hunt is underway to debank fintech and crypto in the US. Gold reaches a new all-time high. Binance is ending support for Bitcoin ordinals. Genesis purchased $2.1 billion worth of Bitcoin. Odell has got beef with Sailor.
What the hell was that?
Slanderous.
Well, we'll get into it shortly.
We'll get to that bit. Pomp has announced token relations. And
what the hell was that last
time? We'll get into it.
And Google searches for Bitcoin and crypto are clearly at bull market levels, according to Bitcoin Archive Twitter account.
That's a sweeping exercise, that one. Let's put that out there. That's not true right now.
Okay, to be debunked.
Okay.
It's not true by any metric.
Bitcoin price. Last episode's price was 66. We're currently on 68.7.
Just under 69.
Yeah.
We were at 72 yesterday, though.
Well,
you had a little bit of a spike, a little bit of a dip.
But CPI information coming out today in America.
It's not on the list, is it?
9 days to go. 9 days till the halving.
Oh, that's not on the list either.
Who did this list?
What we're going to say? Of course, we have another podcast before 9 days.
Yeah. CPI data is not on there, but that's happening today in America. You what?
So did you put it on the? Do you put it in the chat now?
Okay. No, I've literally just come to me now. I was looking at the price, thinking of people.
You literally just walked in, Dave, sat down, didn't help yourself or anything, and throwing it around.
Me and Mikey last night trying to get more news to pull in for this, sorting it out. You know, putting tweets out that got no interaction.
I thought your account had been taken over. this guy's gone crazy.
It's method to the madness. Okay. We'll get to.
Anyway, CPI data coming out in America. But you're very interesting to see if the inflation is going to be reduced. But I think the markets might be saying that it won't be as going down as much as they think. So it's a bit of worry. That's what it could be.
Bit of a worry for who? Just to help clarify.
A bit of a worry for the general global population because
not everyone.
Yeah.
Just to clarify,
because if inflation's not coming around down, the Fed won't reduce the rates. So interest rates around the world would still maintain because everyone's just waiting for the Fed. So there's less money in the market.
So do you think this isn't even on the agenda?
I know, we've not even got...
No, this isn't on the agenda, but this is an interesting topic because it's...
Because I haven't got my hammer, isn't it?
We can just go rogue today, guys.
It will impact the wider economy side. But the... I guess we've seen, because interest rates rose very quickly because inflation had rose very quickly and we've tried to counteract that with the levers that they use to move the two. That now we're saying that inflation's not necessarily going to come down as much as they want, even though the interest rates are still high. Does that mean, obviously, interest rates are going to stay the same or they're going to potentially have to raise them again because they're worried about inflation and have they effectively... I guess that's always the point where people always say, like, you know, what point does it become broken? And it doesn't.
Yeah, is it broken if it's not working?
Is it broken if it's not working?
The lever's still working because inflation has been coming down due to high interest rates.
It's worked on a sliding scale.
But it was only last week where America said they're essentially borrowing stroke printing
1.2 trillion.
Yeah. So that is not anti-inflationary.
No.
So what do they expect?
They can't have both.
You can't have both sides of the coin. So I think there's just generally, the Leaves are working, just it's taking a long time.
They're not working.
Inflation's come down.
They're not working at the top end of the sliding scale.
You remember where inflation was, though?
They're working at halfway in the sliding scale, aren't they? They've worked to an extent.
I think patience will run out and the interest rates will drop before they hit their 2%
target. 4%
target. No, well, in 10 years' time, we'll be saying, it's a 4%. When this cycle comes around again, it'll be like...
No, they're talking about changing it now.
They're not. Have any ever heard 2% target still the target?
They've been talking about changing it to 4%. It was the UK that I think talking about changing the target.
We've talked about it. They may be changing the target, but I've never heard someone coming out saying that the target might be changed.
It was UK, wasn't it?
Someone respectful, please, Mikey.
No, that was the IMF at the top.
What's this? A tweet from Danny?
Yeah. Exactly. So if you scroll to the top, that was the Bank of England, the same inflation and the 2% target.
No, that's just a web page that they've had there for the last 30 years. Just go back to the top again, Mike.
It's been a consistent target.
And there was definitely something...
I don't know if you get away with more than 2%. I think it's 2% because it's the most you can get away with.
It's 2% because New Zealand made it up and everyone followed.
No, it's 2%.
You know that.
2%.
We've talked about it on the podcast.
No, I know, but if you think about it, it's 2%. Anything more than 2%, it becomes noticeable to the general public and there'll be uproar.
That's probably maybe why New Zealand went with 2% and everyone followed like sheep.
Wow.
Okay.
But it only becomes noticeable because that's what's ingrained in you, right? 2%.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. I think interest rates will be brought down before the 2% target of inflation increases is hit.
Well, it has
because
been,
patience is running out.
Didn't it already come down? Has it come down once this year? No.
I don't know.
Everyone's watching.
It froze, didn't it?
Yeah, I think some countries have, but...
It was Switzerland
went early. Yeah.
Brought it down the other day.
But Europe and America's still waiting. Anyway.
Right.
Surprised that's not on the agenda.
Mm. Well, it is now.
Okay.
Okay. Ripple to launch a stablecoin pegged to the US dollar.
Ripple are on the agenda.
Yeah.
And CPI
I didn't
wasn't.
See this.
I flagged this.
Why?
I put it in a group the other day saying end of XRP.
I didn't see that, no.
Because basically...
I saw it.
Again, I've been telling everybody this for a long time with Ripple. Go back to the Peter McCormick podcast episode where he has... what's his face on? Brad. He's like CEO, founder of Ripple. And he even talks about it and says like they don't necessarily need XRP for Ripple to work. They're two different things is what they've tried to differentiate. Mm. XRP is the coin, cryptocurrency they made that they hold the majority of, that they dump on the public to fund Ripple, the company. This is all true. He doesn't deny this. He doesn't necessarily use the word dump.
I wouldn't be surprised if he used dump on the public, yeah.
He might use that word throughout the podcast.
He needs to change his PR agency then.
He does. But he... does basically, you know, yeah, he's been selling that. Peter does question that. This is from like 2 years ago, this podcast. But he then talks by there that you don't necessarily need XRP to make Ripple work. Ripple, they're trying to just basically replace Swift, if you think of it like that. They're just trying to be the next Swift, but still centralized Swift. There's no difference between them and Swift. It's just they're saying they were using cryptocurrency to make it the buzzword, to make it do something different or sound different. But now they've realized that they could then just use a stablecoin to do this rather than XRP. They've now going to use stablecoin to make the money movement and use a Swift effectively replacement. That means all the XRP bag holders that have been buying that for many years.
The XRP army.
Or the XRP army that have multiple times threatened my life. that's a lot.
Never happened.
I'll share them. I've got DMs from XRP like kill me and everything.
That might be a step too far, but part of me's like
there was probably a 15-year-old kid in the bedroom to me. I've got a few of them. Yeah. I had a few of them over.
If you are part of that XRP army, please join our new Telegram.
We'll have a chat.
Yeah.
But because they've bought into this idea and they've managed to buy into the concept of what Ripple set out to do, which was trying to use XRP then to become Swift and global money movement, and the story that Ripple has sold and Brad has sold and all the people involved in that. Obviously, they've just been dumping XRP onto the public and then using that to fund Ripple. But now they've realized, okay, use a stable coin instead and they can do the exact same thing. and it's stable, so they don't need to worry about XRP liquidity in countries to be able to sell in each end and movement as well, which means XRP now is pointless. It has no use.
Has it impacted the price at all? I'm not seeing.
It went down on that announcement, yeah.
Are they issuing the stablecoin on XRP, or have they not stopped?
It's a good question.
So that'd be even more hilarious when they don't choose XRP to issue it.
Yeah, if they issue it on something else, then maybe. I would have assumed they would, but again, I don't know. So yeah, obviously, that, and even in a month there, the price is just down. Just go to like a year in all time and stuff. It's like you start to see you've had the spikes in the past, and it's rose a little bit in the last year, hasn't it? Year to two.
Those spikes are
bullshit. Since they won that court case, I think, wasn't it?
Probably the little one there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But the dollar value, getting back to $3 is going to be a hell of a challenge to something that now even Ripple, the company that created it, has jumped ship on. Maybe if they do the stable coin on it, there'll be a little bit of a saving grace for the XRP holders.
But then they're still limited to, they need everyone to use XRP still.
Yeah, for it to actually have a use case in that sense. But if nobody's using it for anything other than the stable coin, then it becomes, and you're already a centralized company at that point. Why not just do it as a database, the same as Swift? And you can run around in circles, but
Do you think they're looking at the likes of Tether with the massive stablecoin dominance and PayPal trying to get into it, and they just want a chunk of that?
They want a piece market, piece of the action, it's probably the case. And they've got enough billions, I think, in the balance of what they've dumped on XRP guys to probably fund that for quite some time. Does it say about if they're doing it on XRP Ledger?
They've got to be, surely.
And Ethereum. Launch a stablecoin on XRPL and Ethereum.
Yeah. They know they can't just do it on XRP because no one uses it.
No one will use it. Yeah. So they have to do it on Ethereum.
Yeah.
Interesting, they've chosen Ethereum as everybody else is slowly moving to Tron and Solana. Okay. But yeah, just again, slowly happens over time, and these things take many years to come into fruition as to what's happening. But something that I think people have been aware of for a long time, but now is finally coming to the light.
Okay.
Hit that hammer.
I know. Founder and CEO of Custodia Bank, Caitlin Long, says there is definitely a witch hunt underway to debank fintech and crypto in the US. She said this on Twitter, didn't she?
Yeah, this was
news. They just lost some of their corresponding banking.
Well, Custodia have been having issues for years now, haven't they? Trying to get the banking license.
I think that she's talking more about like US exchanges and things that are starting to get pulled again for some reason, but I've not heard anyone said, but obviously they don't a lot of the time, and it's kind of it'll happen when it happens. So in the background, maybe they are getting squeezed again.
Very political.
But this falls into, you know, this centralization of American banking and banking overall, because there's less divergence in the market, because there's less banks out there, because they're all having their own separate crises, aren't they? So actually, it's a problem in the free market fundamentally, because first thought when you see stuff like this is, oh, there'll always be another bank that'll service them, you know, someone else to willing to take them on. But actually, that might not be the case for too much longer if there's less and less banks out there, and they're all under umbrella banks anyway. So it's not great news, is it?
It's not. I always think, because I guess sometimes we always get exposure to things that other people will not have that exposure and that insight to. And I know from, and we had this conversation recently, actually, didn't we? The UK banks and the UK side of things, and actually some of the regs coming in are being pushed by the bigger banks because it helps squeeze on the EMIs, for example, like your Revoluts and your Monzos. And the approach that's happened with some of the, we've said about before, where banks are, in the UK, limiting what you can send to crypto exchanges, that has been driven by regulation, not by the bank's appetite for crypto. So it has nothing to do with crypto and Bitcoin in that sense. It's more like the regulators, say, forcing that in some way, but are the banks lobbying and pushing for that regulation to come into play because of it's an anti-competitive move? Anti-competitive, not being against crypto, anti-competitive as in my business is losing money in comparison to what it should be making, and these other new guys cropping up that are competition are starting to take a piece of the pie, and they're doing anything they can to prevent that?
I think we've had conversations quite recently about a softening of approaches to crypto and Bitcoin from banks themselves in terms of what they'll let their corresponding banks have.
That same conversation, the bigger banks are pushing for that reg, for example, or well, we believe they are, to make, but then
if you're a bigger bank though, I can see what they're saying in terms of if they're having to abide by the regulatory framework that they've been set out, and then you've got someone offering an extremely similar service mm-hmm. who might not have to adhere to all those regulatory requirements, then as a bigger bank, I'd be like, well, that's not fair. Like you would be saying, like
it's a different business model though. Like the bigger banks can take them deposits in and go and invest them and trade them and do what they want. Uh-huh. The Monzos and the Revoluts can't do that because they're EMIs, which means the money is held with the Bank of England effectively directly, and it doesn't get invested and doesn't get interest on it effectively. So it's 100% reserve in that sense. So it's like custodial of what Caitlin Long's trying to do, 100% reserve bank.
She was.
That's effectively what we already are and have in the UK with the EMIs.
Did they get turned down because they're all trying to do one-on-one?
That's
outrageous.
Because the business model is a different, it's a complete, like, look at Revolut.
It's a new type.
Revolut have been struggling to make any money over the years. They've got lots of investment, they've got lots of customers, but they've struggled to make a profit. I don't know if they've still ever made a profit. They've made revenue, but the only reason they ended up surviving years back was because they added crypto. But their business model is just paying £5-10 for a Visa card and a bank account effectively didn't work. You're seeing that with all the other competitors, the Monzos and the smaller ones that have all come and gone quickly, because that business model is somewhat flawed in the sense of most of the UK public can go and get a free bank account with HSBC or Barclays. Why are they going to pay £10 a month for an account with Revolut?
And that is why you see them all adding on features, right? Yeah. Like travel insurance and all that kind of stuff.
All the paid stuff.
It's all just a different business model.
Can Revolut, can Monzo, can these other ones survive long term
without fractional reserve
because the products they're offering are the effective equivalent in some respect to what a bank account would be, but they're having to charge for it because that's the only way they can do it, because they can't take that money and operate fractional reserve and invest that somewhere else. So that's the difference, I guess, and that's similar to what she got turned down in the US for custodia, because the regulator's argument was it wasn't a solid business model. It's completely different. It's a change.
Do you think people make the decision on where to deposit based on a fractional reserve or a one-to-one model? I don't think they do,
because they don't understand. Saying most of the public in the UK would just go and have the only reason they got a Revolut account originally was because it was the FX thing for traveling, and then it was the cool thing to get.
It's kind of cool and funky.
But Caitlin Long's kind of past that. Caitlin Long has made a decision to get one-on-one. Or are their hands held? Could they not do any fractional stuff? Because she's gone out there and tried to get a one-on-one.
I think that's
for a reason.
That's what they wanted to.
But is that to get more depositors to say, "Look, we're a different type of bank model. This is how you can run it."
Potentially. Well,
but you're saying that actually banks or EMIs or Revolut can't really run.
I'm not saying they can't. They haven't been able to become a profitable business model a sustainable profitable business model. Every single one of them ones, EMIs out there that, like the Revolut, Monzos and that, they've raised lots of VC money, and that's how they've survived. And they've started to make revenue, don't get me wrong, but now they're trying to figure out how you make revenue and then turn that into a profit. And none of them have really nailed that business model yet. The only way Revolut have grown the way they have is adding crypto. I think, what was there? Was it like 60% of their revenue was crypto or something like that? And that last report we saw, I can't remember what the number was exactly, but it was a lot of that portion.
And we know Revolut themselves, they went for a full banking license in the UK, remember?
About a year ago, they were saying they were going to get it, weren't they? It's still ongoing.
So it's like they know themselves, they probably have to go fractional, which they need that for.
They'll book one into certain things that
they'll want to become a bank, right? Rather than
at the minute, they can't do.
They put an update on the 5th of March, Revolut.
5th of March?
Saying that they don't have a banking license yet, but they're working on it.
Yeah, they got the EU one, did they, I think?
Yes, they've got an EU one. But
Lithuania.
Okay.
Moving on.
Moving on.
It's pathetic, isn't it? Gold reaches new all-time high.
Who took that?
You
did.
I took that. Because I was just interesting again coming off.
But you took Ripple, you took from Gold.
I know.
This is a Bitcoin podcast.
I know. You have to see
we're about Bitcoin.
The world around you as well to then understand Bitcoin.
Some Premier League fixtures on there as well.
Well, if there's a few Bitcoiners that Premier League players that can pull them in. That conversation. But the point of that was just similar to like you were talking about CPI and the inflation thing. You've got China. There's an arbitrage at the. I don't know if that's been the last couple of weeks or whether that's been with the price of gold in China, I think it is, as opposed to price in gold in the Western world. There's been like a 20% premium or something. It was a ridiculous premium. So there was an arbitrage opportunity of things. But there's all sorts going on with the world, I guess, at the minute in terms of, you know, you've got the Russia, the Ukraine war, you've got the Israel side of things, and there's things playing out. So why is gold going to all-time highs? It's everything that's going on around the world. So people are moving into gold at the minute in some capacity.
It's always been this traditional safe haven, isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you see Francis from Bull Bitcoin's tweet about buying a coffee with gold?
Yeah.
I saw him say about his gold bar.
Yeah, I don't know if he was just a giant troll, but it's hilarious. Yeah, he said he it wasn't the right weight the first time, so he had to go home and shave a bit off. So he's like a kind of troll, but I think he actually did it. He had a picture of his little piece of gold. It was quite funny.
It's quite funny. Yeah. I saw him sit by the gold bar, but I didn't see more than that.
Yeah, his little picture of a little tiny bit in a cup for like a cup of coffee.
And they accepted it.
Yeah. There you go.
I saw that picture, yeah. I saw that.
0.5 gram of gold. He had a 1 gram gold bar and cut roughly off 1/120th pieces.
Mm-hmm. The cashier had a milligram scale.
Took me a few times to get the right amount. One of the bits fell into the crack of the table. These are just gold bug problems, right? When you try to buy coffee because it's reached a new all-time high.
My Bitcoin's never fallen down the crack of the table.
Gold is a fantastic medium.
Yeah, maybe you have to explain why that's quite funny from a Bitcoin point of view. In terms of, because Bitcoin is the gold 2.0, isn't it? It works. It's almost better than gold, but because it's divisible, you can use it.
Almost better than gold, did you just say?
No, I said it is better than gold, didn't I?
You can play that back later.
No. You put XRP stuff on it. Awesome.
Throw you all out.
You have just all, well, so it's better than gold in terms of a lot of factors. And one of them is you can use it in small transactions, which is, and this is a problem why gold coins could never be used.
So I don't know if this tweet just a troll, it could all be a lie just to highlight.
No, of course, there's no.
I mean, that's not genuine.
Yeah. I don't know. He lives in weird places.
I've not read this tweet or anything, but I know he's been. So he's more for the medium of exchange of Bitcoin as well, and spending Bitcoin and doing that. And he goes and does that in all the places he goes to, Puerto Rico and Costa Rica and all that sort of side where he's been. So I assume it's taking the piss a little.
Yeah.
To do that, so he's showing that we use gold as a medium of exchange for many years in the past. And look how bad it is. And now we've got Bitcoin as a medium of exchange and look how quick and easy this is. So he's probably using that as the company.
Yeah, that's 100% it. Yeah.
I do like Francis.
He's good, yeah.
It's funny guy.
He's good.
I think you put that better than I tried to put it.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Absolutely.
So back to XRP.
You really threw me off today.
Right. Next one is Binance and support for Bitcoin ordinals.
Missed this.
What was their support for ordinals? What did that look like?
NFT marketplace. They added the ordinals on there.
So just buy and sell and deposit. Yeah.
How long did that last then?
Was it a month or two? I don't think it was. That was it. We got a date. I don't know if we got a date.
Did they give a reason?
Set up something about streamlining products.
Yeah, that
a classic
that
reason.
Just means no volume.
Generic vague
if it
reason.
Was making any sort of revenue, they wouldn't have done it since no one's using it.
There you go. May 2023, they added support.
So just a year.
Okay, it's been just shy of a year.
So we didn't even know. Nobody's cared. Okay, but yeah, then they've just got rid of it already. Obviously, that's not good for Bitcoin ordinal stuff and the fans there. But also, I suppose there's two ways to look at that as well. And let's not have an agenda. We hate ordinals, so let's slag it off completely. I think Binance as well, ending that, I agree, probably got no volume, so there's definitely a piece of that. And the streamlining thing is a nice way of saying the SEC is squeezing the hell out of us. We've got to scale back and costs mm-hmm. and everything. So that's probably a big part of that as well.
Mm-hmm. It just seems like bad news after bad news for Binance recently, isn't it?
Did I say 5 years and it won't be the company they are today? That's my bet for the...
They had a good run.
No company is, after 5 years, the company they are today.
Right, you're going to have
to... 5 years...
He said they'd be dead in 5 years.
No, I said they won't be the company they are today in 5 years was the eventual bet.
That's exactly true of every company ever.
As in, they're going to be scaled down then, should we say, on the downward trend.
Should have clarified.
They've got a slow death. I think it clarified...
I'm sure you said they wouldn't be here.
I was saying that.
Oh, you said, or they'll be so small they'll be irrelevant.
Irrelevant, yeah. Wow. So that's...
When did you say it?
I think I said 5 years, did I?
Okay. I think so, yeah.
Okay, great.
The great thing about these podcasts, we have more recordings. we don't go back though, do we?
Mikey will. Play that clip along on top of our...
God, what episode was that?
Did I put a thing on saying, in one of the pods, saying about maybe 5 years, I think Binance will be gone and they'll slowly die out? I do think it will be a case of, yeah, that's... goes pop or they shut it down, sell the assets, they're going to have to do something.
When you say they won't be here in 5 years, you're talking about Binance US or Binance in general?
No, I'm talking about Binance in general, I think. Wow. I think they're going to be, if they're here, they're just going to be insignificant in the industry because they're just going to get squeezed. So
they might still exist, but in a lot smaller kind of scale.
They'll be insignificant is what I'm saying there, yeah.
Right.
Cool.
Next one.
Yeah.
Okay. Genesis. Purchased $2.1 billion worth of Bitcoin following the GBTC sell-off.
Yeah, so the massive...
Is this a sweeping?
Daily outflows. I don't think it is.
Oh, okay.
Getting excited.
Unless you think it is.
I had a bit of a sweeping one for this.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. I was going to say, all the outflows coming from Grayscale recently have been mainly Genesis because they got approval to sell a certain amount of shares in there. Then what I didn't realize, they... put out that they then bought back all that Bitcoin. So I think they bought 32,000 Bitcoin, was it?
When was that?
Which they're going to give back to creditors, I assume.
That was the sweep, was that everyone thought that they were selling, that's why the price had that dip during that time. But now then it was like, if they were selling and then having to buy that back straight away, then surely the price doesn't move.
It nets itself off.
So theoretically, why did the price go down? And it was probably sentiment from people thinking they're selling and the traders trying to trade effectively in time what
trade
was
going to trade.
Yeah. But the bit that was kind of the sweeping side of it, but the other angle of it is it's not been clarified how they bought it back and how they sold it. So did they even sell it? Like, if they did like OTC style and they've said, okay, we've got 2 billion to sell, but we need to buy 2 billion back. It's just a database exercise between like an accounting exercise to say they've sold it and they've bought it back. And actually, they already had the Bitcoin there and they just moved the Bitcoin. So they never actually went onto the market and bought anything. So which means that time period there, that $2 billion never even touched the market at either side. Mm-hmm. So it didn't
happen. Still an outflow from Grayscale, but it didn't touch the market. Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know how they did that in the background and what happened there. If they've gone to OTC desks, the OTC desks might have just said, oh yeah, we'll do this then and just flip it back, take a little fee for that. So on paper it's correct, but it's an accounting exercise more than actually putting it physically on the market.
I think they released a statement, so I haven't read it, or a report. So,
and we couldn't see anything in volumes. I mean, it's a public ledger. Why would you not be able to see it?
What's a public ledger? Just because Bitcoin's a public ledger?
Yeah, if they put it on chain, you'd be able to see it, wouldn't you? If they did like a buy and a sell and it was all on chain, then it'd be visible.
You wouldn't buy and sell on chain. Are you okay today?
Why would you know? No, but if
both of them custody at Coinbase, for example, and then they go to
Coinbase.
Will
they both custody in Coinbase?
I think they do, actually, yeah. But
Coinbase came out with a statement saying that they were pretty sure that it's going to stay in the market, so it must be Coinbase in charge.
So then, it's Coinbase and Coinbase.
Coinbase's OTC desk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
They don't have to necessarily, they can just trade it.
Exactly.
I get it.
But and it doesn't go on chain anywhere. It still just goes onto the market, the buy and the sell side at Coinbase.
So they would both have to be on Coinbase to do that? Otherwise, you would have to go.
Yeah.
You'd have to make
the on-chain trade. Movement would be like out of Grayscale's address.
Our Coinbase.
Yeah, but which they have like specific addresses for each ETF.
Are they public Grayscale's ones?
Yeah.
So you would be able to see it if it happened like that?
You wouldn't be able to. So you'd be able to see, okay, Grayscale's Bitcoin that you can see on-chain has moved from 32,000 Bitcoin have moved from there to this other address. Mm. In the background, they could have done an LTC trade and buying a sell there that you're never going to see anywhere.
I get that part.
So you'll only see the 2,000 going out, but you'd see that regardless of what route they did in the background.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
You'd still see that 2,000 outflow from Coinbase.
Right.
32,000 outflow, sorry. Keeps into.
Okay.
And it might not necessarily be one chunk. It could be.
No, there is that. I get that, but you'd figure it out.
So my point with that is just we still don't know.
That's interesting, Mr. What we actually did there.
Did they actually touch the market or did they just do an OTC accounting exercise? You do question that. What would you do? If you've got a genuine OTC.
If it was me, it'd be like an internal thing. You wouldn't touch anything.
Mm. It's like if we had someone coming along and wanting to sell, you know, $100 million worth of Bitcoin.
Meanwhile,
they've got that Bitcoin and you had someone wanting to buy it, you don't touch the market.
You would.
A set price that you both agree.
I mean, it's just that.
But I don't know if there's certain, because Genesis are under strict rules at the moment, or what they can and can't do, I'm not sure.
So there's that part, obviously, the liquidation side, and then there's the Grayscale or an ETF and regulated. So what do they have to do? Do they have to actually put it on the market, or can they? The only way you potentially maybe work out on the market is the debt, the volume during them. Times, but
quite hard to see that.
How can you see that
during the ETF market time? The volume just shoots up.
We don't know what's what and what's theirs and what's not.
Yeah. So I was right.
I was right again.
Sure. Not sure what you were right about.
I was right, but turns out I was right.
We'll go with it.
All right, come on. Next story. Odell. He tweeted that one of the big ETFs was going to donate to open source devs. Sailor told them if they did, he would crush them, so they pulled out of the commitment. So
Before we get into this, the all caps just makes it so
the all caps makes you think he's drunk or something.
Does he always tweet in all caps? Most of the time, doesn't he?
Well, this is obnoxious, right? He's deleted his Twitter account.
It's always all caps.
That's a lot of caps.
Must be stuck on his keyboard.
Why does he do that?
I don't know.
Get his point across.
Shout. All right, mate. No one is shouting all the time.
Where's the source? How does he? Where's this coming from?
Doesn't I like it? So before we get into slagging him off or anything like that, I do like Odell.
Oh yeah, I think he's great. But
he's a nice guy, and I think he has always historically been quite a good voice in the industry in terms of talking common sense and a sort of logical approach to things. He's very outspoken and is not afraid to say clearly.
In caps.
But yeah, this one obviously is a bit out of the blue and a bit of a random, unnecessary attack. I don't know. Maybe he sees it as necessary for the better of the industry, and that's why he's doing it. What truth there is, there's no source to anything. It's just hearsay.
This is the issue, right? As an industry, that kind of is don't trust, verify. A lot of people are just kind of taking Odell as a word, which I can see because he's built up a reputation in the industry that he's trustworthy and...
So is there no further mention of where he's got that?
I think VanEck have denied it.
Two of them have denied it, haven't they? Bitwise and VanEck.
VanEck and Fidelity, don't they already donate to source steps?
Something. They already do.
And I just understand who else is Sailor going to crush, like BlackRock. How can you? I don't understand. It's such weird language, like to crush them. How would he even happen?
And the only way you could crush them, right, would be selling all his Bitcoin so the price tanks and their ETF tanks.
And he would never do
it. But he wouldn't crush them either. No.
They'd just mop it up.
They'd be laughing.
There's a couple of angles I've got in my head of my opinion on certain things with this.
Go on, spill.
So, Odell, I agree with his sentiment of don't slay your heroes, isn't it? And I think in this industry especially, don't have heroes, slay your heroes. I've said that a number of times in the past. There was that terrible tweet I think you shared last night, which is this guy that's
this guy calling out basically all the big guys.
We shouldn't even give this attention, right?
Want to show this, but the things he's slagging him off is like, it's ridiculous. But
where's your name? Your name's not on there.
Good. See, so clever. He can't even piece me together yet.
I didn't see that about Luke there. That's quite funny.
Luke Junior literally eats cats.
I missed that.
But yeah, let's ignore it. Where was we at there before that? It was on.
Yeah, you should not have heroes in this industry.
Slay your heroes, which I agree with, and agree with the sentiment and that, and trying to shoot down Sailor, and Sailor's becoming too much of a figurehead in the industry in some respects. there's no reason to go and attack him though and slag him off in that sense. If he has a good word from somebody that something's happened there, I would believe in my head that maybe it's been, you know, there's been some comments around it and they've been maybe taken out of context in some respects, and then Matt's ended up with something there and he's then pushing, tweeting or putting this
maybe
out.
Maybe Sailor's right.
That's my opinion on it. I'm with Sailor in
you don't want ETFs donating.
Exactly, which is what we've already spoken about on the pod.
Yeah.
So we want them to donate. You want everyone to donate to help support core protocol developers and the open source side. However, you don't want them to donate because BlackRock start donating. BlackRock are going to control them devs effectively.
And it's going to try hard. And control those devs. Yeah.
And it's going to be hard for them devs to say no if they're getting paid effectively by these guys. They say no and then they're basically not getting paid. They've got to go and find another sponsor, or they just do what BlackRock says. So they've got to have real tenacity. I don't know the right word.
Conviction.
There. And like that there.
Which I think a lot of them do, right? Because to work on Bitcoin Gore is a thankless task,
Luke
really.
Eats cats. He was just ready. Well, you can't trust that guy.
That's what drives you to.
So I do agree. I think a lot of them do, and I think a lot of them wouldn't.
A lot of them have been scraping by for years,
yeah,
just for the passion of working on it, right?
Yeah. And there'll always be more people that will come along and do that and work on it.
But this tweet could be about you, couldn't it? Apart from your threatening to crush.
I'll crush BlackRock if they donate to.
There you go. Things. So Adele could be writing about you.
Is what it is, isn't it? You know. No, but we don't want them controlling Bitcoin Core devs, and you need them to be, so maybe it was Sailor's comments around that, like that actually he doesn't donate to them because he doesn't want to be seen as then potentially controlling them guys and directing them where they want to go for his benefit rather than the open network.
I think the ones I have donated so far, that they've done it through Brink, right? So it's like one step removed from an actual developer, which I think is good.
Yeah, that's better.
So then Brink can then decide.
Yeah, you just think this is just Sailor's made a little comment in line with what you're saying, and
it's just potentially taken out of context,
and now it's Sailor threatened to crush ETFs.
I still don't know if he has made that comment either.
Oh no, we don't.
Someone just needs to ask Sailor. Has anyone asked him yet?
Anyway,
I think everyone is poked him, but I mean, I don't even know if it's worth asking.
No, it's all kind of a load of rubbish anyway. It's
hearsay for the most part, and I think. I somewhat, as we said there, kind of agree. I don't really want the ETFs donating and potentially trying to take control at some point, which will happen. Not they'll take control, they'll try. Try.
Mm-hmm. And then you'll have to try and crush them.
Same way as Coinbase tried. Same way as all the other guys tried.
Yeah. It's
all part of the life cycles of Bitcoin.
Okay. Pomp, he's announced token relations.
All right, if you tick this one as well. This isn't a Bitcoin podcast anymore.
Token relations will help connect blockchains with their communities, developers, token holders.
We don't need to talk about it. I really don't care.
Used to be held in good esteem, didn't he? He used to be a Bitcoin OG, and for years now he's just been doing crap like this.
He's not a Bitcoin OG, I would say, but you're right in that sense of what you said.
Real sellout, isn't he?
The point of he was just the Slayer Heroes one to follow on from the Sailor thing more than anything. That was the only reason I ticked it.
What is the whole Slayer Heroes
just on
saying?
That as well?
But I don't know. Just not in my head from.
Well, just never have heroes, right?
You don't have it. Yeah, but what's the.
They'll always let you down. I get never it, have a hero. They'll always let you down.
It must be part of a bigger saying.
Oh, yeah. I think Slayer Heroes. It's not Bitcoin saying.
But just on just that like, as well, going back to the Matt Odell one, he's seen as, you know, a bit of that kind of figure within the industry as well. So don't be afraid to, like, don't just trust what Matt says.
Go figure it out.
Yeah. And I like Matt, but yeah, it's like. He could be a hero, though.
He is to a lot of people.
Exactly.
So, end up being that way. But Pomp is exactly just a follow-on from that. He obviously has gone through the whole... how many things he's done, and it's gone completely a mess. Obviously, BlockFi is a big one.
He's good on television.
He's still... Because the mainstream
isn't good.
Don't understand and don't know that.
Mainstream media, get him on, ask him about Bitcoin. He's very good on television.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's well-spoken, well-presented.
Yeah.
I think that's the... part of the problem though as well, they keep taking him on because they had him on from years ago, and now he's been known as this person that will go on and do that. But he's now, he's been shitcoining for years now. This isn't new. But this is just another one of them things that he's looking for. He's an opportunist. He's just taking the opportunities that he's seeing coming, but not for the greater good of Bitcoin or the network or anything like that. for himself.
Sorry, we are helping blockchains better communicate with their developers.
It's incredible. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's incredible.
And I now talk to the blockchain.
It's just buzzword, buzzword, buzzword.
Right? No, that's the problem.
No, that's part of what I liked. It's providing top metrics and more all in one place.
Oh.
And more.
And more.
And more. Mm. They did his education platform as well, didn't he? Which was like... did he do that with... Was it the Dylan thingy or was it someone else? I can't remember who that was with. Was it...
Did he do a female-only thing?
That was Nat Brunel, wasn't it?
That was something else. But he's done a few where, like, the education thing, education on Bitcoin for all, if you pay $1,500 for a month course or whatever it was. He was like, what?
And then,
yeah.
Poor guy's just getting trolled.
He was the biggest shiller of a multitude of things now that have gone completely wrong in some ways. And he continues to keep going. I don't mean to attack him in my opinion on that. It's just that's what's happened. That's history. That's
There's kind of a few going that way though, isn't there, in this industry?
They try and go, I think there's a bit of a weird cycle where you end up like you come in as like make some money, you're trying to do shitcoin crypto trading stuff, and then you kind of eventually come around to Bitcoin only, and then
you write a book.
After the Bitcoin side is not, Bitcoin is slow and steady and it takes time and people are impatient. So people then say, oh, well, I want to make more money. I want to do more. I want to do something else. And then they go off and then do things like this. So it's...
And this industry, you know, it's different for everyone. Like, to me, Bitcoin is a better form of money, but other people, it's all about the technology. So then they might go into the altcoins and that kind of thing because it progresses faster and there's more R&D on the technology side.
They've quick break things.
Yeah. So it's like, I don't think he's trying to scam people, for example.
He's just an opportunity to help the scammers.
I guess
in some respects.
Yeah.
Help the scammers communicate between themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
It's kind of what...
Yeah.
Okay.
But,
that's pomp.
Yeah.
Bang. This is a sweeper Scott one. So Google searches for Bitcoin and crypto are clearly at bull market levels. Retailers here, which is a tweet by Bitcoin Archive.
The data's there, Danny. What's your problem with that?
The data doesn't tell us anything. It's incorrect.
Look at that graph.
Oh, there's your reply. Straight in there.
There's your data.
Reply.
And it just gets no into at the minute. I think I must be shadow banned.
You've even got one like.
I know.
You got a comment. It's a bot.
No, it's a bot.
I don't know if Bitcoin Archive...
You must be.
Well, I wonder if Bitcoin Archive hid the tweet or I'm shadow banned in some way.
We do always sweep this account, so...
He's maybe started blocking us.
No, I don't know, because you can... If you were hidden, you wouldn't be visible there.
Unless Mike has gone to the tweet. Mike has gone to my tweet, I think, are you?
No,
this is just top, but I do follow you, so maybe that's pretty...
Maybe.
Because my data actually shows that's completely not true. It's not my data.
Look on a different
it's Google
account.
Trends. So if we go back up to...
Yeah, what's the original tweet saying?
So the original tweet is basically saying, we're in bull market, far from peak, blow off top,
maybe. Like sweep
and he's, retail is here, and all the hype meme coins, etc. So he's saying...
And that's all
here.
Based on just... comparing cryptocurrency and Bitcoin keywords on Google Trends.
Google's, which actually there's no the comparison piece isn't necessarily a thing either. No matter which one you look at, you don't have to compare the two. They run in parallel for the most part. Sorry, Mike, I can just go back up to this chart. Let's do that. So he's saying bull market, but he's only looking back to the 2021 time and seeing the bull market trend from there. And he's saying retail is here. Retail is not here in this cycle at the minute. We know that from our numbers. We know that from the companies we talk to within the industry. We know that from the on-chain analytics guys that put out the Glassnode?
Mm-hmm.
Glassnode?
Yeah.
I think one of them's just been on Peter McCormick podcast and he talks about that as well and says retail's not here yet. And you can tell that from on-chain data. So every other metric, and even that metric actually does show us retail's not here yet as well, which I'll come on to in a second. But he's done it on such a small time scale that it's not been extended enough to see the actual retail movement side. So retail is not here. And this feels just more of a hopium and positive.
Yeah, it's just doing things what we are angry about other industries doing. It's like getting specific dates for specific stats and putting out specific headlines to meet you kind of...
To get the all the followers that you're doing. It's like the, not clickbait, but like what's it called, like click farming.
Engagement
farming.
Engagement farming.
Engagement.
Yeah, it's like it's written the outcome first, and then figured out how we can prove this kind of thing.
Yeah. And trying to find that engagement farming tweet, which is what this has done, and it gets the attention. And that's part of what obviously his account is.
I mean,
I'm not trying to attack him either. It's just what it is.
But the red line is going up.
So we'll come back. So this is what we'll come back to. If you can ignore. So if you scroll down to my chart, Mikey, which is not my chart, by the way, this is literally a snippet from Google Trends. I've done that over all time. So you can see the cycles and see the trends.
Mm.
So you can straight away see, obviously, the very first one back in the Silk Road days in the Mount Gox back in 2012, 13. And there was a little bit of a spike and it come down. You've then got the 2017 spike. And then you've got, obviously, the couple of years there, lull period. Then you've got the 21 spike. And you can see the four-year cycles effectively spiking each time. So if you look where we are now in that movement there, if you look back to the previous one, 2017 to the 2021 spike period, you're looking effectively at that just the beginning of the bull market, but it's only just beginning. And this chart maybe is difficult as well to see how many years this is over there. That big, big spike on the 2021 one there is almost from January 2020, is it nearly, to end of 21, I think, or something like that, or about mid-21. So it's over like an 18-month period, that big long spike. So the small spike we're at now is kind of like that small spike pre-2020, so the 2019 spike in the previous cycle. So we're literally at that, which is when retail wasn't here. Mm-hmm. Retail didn't hit till in the last cycle, till 20... it was end of 2020, wasn't it, maybe?
It's usually around about December time, beginning of
2021.
I thought you were going to give it a like then, Mikey, but don't vote.
Yeah, please don't like it. I'd like... Yeah,
you're the one to put your likes. With,
desperate for sympathy likes.
No likes.
I get it. Okay, you've expanded the time horizon properly out and it doesn't show the same thing. And Bitcoin Archive only went from 19.
But even on his chart, it still doesn't show that either. It doesn't even make sense. How do you know retail's there from a search term?
It's not the only factor to determine
many metrics.
Retailer buying, is it?
And if you take metrics into account, like from we see from signups, we know competitors and we know numbers of things. You see, obviously, Twitter engagement for one is another metric you can potentially use. We know from on-chain analytics, retail is not here. It's like this isn't a thing. It's old customers that still have a bit of an insight on the industry and an eye on the industry coming back and playing around.
Buying up before.
Yeah.
Before things kick off.
He does say, though, far from peak.
Yeah, but he says retail is here on the next line. It's just not true.
I assume, yeah, it's just like a throwaway line, right? Which is then just building into the...
Which is then fueled Danny's fire.
Yeah. You almost have like the retail is here thing as well from like your friends and family and stuff when they start messaging you and start doing that. We spoke about this a month ago or something and we have started to see that. And we spoke about it on the pod saying, like, you know, we've seen an uptick in our registration.
We've seen that in the initial price rise, but it's been kind of hovering around.
Other than that, it's gone flatline a little bit again at the minute. So we've seen a little bit of an uptick, but they're usually the ones that have had an eye on the industry for years and they're just messaging back. But still, it's not hit that time where you're getting messages daily from people saying about it and wanting to buy and what should they do. We're not at that level yet, which is when I would classify as retail is here again.
You should do a tweet when you think it's here. Put a tweet out. Retail is here.
Yeah, I'll do that.
Cool.
I'm not trying to be negative and stuff like that. I'm trying to be realistic and real. Like, that's not, it's not here. Why are we lying? Why are we lying to ourselves that it's here? If you
maybe don't do it over your personal account, the sweeping one. Maybe you could do like
a new sweeper account.
Bitcoin realistic archive, and it's just every one of his tweets. You just say actually,
because
it just starts with actually, because he does do it a lot.
Doesn't have the hopium hit that you'd get from it, and the sort of
side of things.
People want that, and that's like, well, that is the engagement farming of that. Is people want that positivity and want that positive outlook, so they will engage and interact with that. That wouldn't realistic. Like the real world and the realistic side of things.
I mean, that
doesn't have that.
The platform issue of Twitter, isn't it? That's some people are just sharing that
live stuff. Yeah, it's life. It's not. Yeah, no, just them. It is life, and it is a problem. The other side of that is
is that a problem? What's the problem there?
We are reaffirming incorrect information. We are reaffirming.
Well, if you like and retweet it, we're reaffirming.
Yeah.
You are sharing that
with other people with incorrect information saying retail is here. Now, if you take that step back and say, actually, you could spin this more as a positive thing, not the way he's doing it, but you spin it as a positive thing, because actually what you're doing there is saying retail is here and the price is where it is. Actually, then if blow off peak is X amount percentage up. If you think retail's not here for another 6 to 9 months and the price continues to grind up, the price will potentially be much, much higher when retail has actually been and gone at blow off peak, as opposed to blow off peak in 3 months' time. So there's a spin on it that it could be done very positively, but done with the correct data. It's just that's, I guess, an easy way to do it, the way they're done.
Okay.
Just not a fan of the fake news, obviously.
But it appears no one's a fan of real news.
No. We've weirdly had this conversation with, I won't say who, but recently with the views on their YouTubes and their things, and they don't want to go down the route of this clickbaity engagement farming side. They want to give real information out, but they know that they don't get the engagement and the views and things that they could if they went and sold the soul in some respect to engagement farming. But they want to do it legit and want to do it properly, which is, I much rather that, and think it's much more credible. But it's a long slog.
Demoralizing.
It's a long, hard slog. It is a long, hard slog. Better quality followers, I think, from that. But
really,
not as many.
I think this is where
we are with Bitcoin, isn't it? Because we've never gone. We stick to Bitcoin, covering. We stick to what we do.
Half of that.
Excuse
me.
But. Yeah,
I wasn't talking about us in that sense either. I'm talking about other people and that. I think they will get a better following, loyal following by doing the quality.
I get it.
I
wouldn't really have a bone to pick with Bitcoin Archive for doing what they're doing.
No, that's just his job effectively doing that. You can crack on and do it. But I have a bone to pick in terms of that fake information is being shared or information spun in an incorrect manner. So the data's not faked. Obviously, it's correct numbers, but it's spun in, worded in the wrong way, I believe.
Yeah.
It could be done more accurate.
Okay, that's the end of the agenda from talking points. Got a couple of things to mention.
Were we going to do an educational thing?
We are. Mike has got it.
Yeah, I don't know
if you want to just start from the start and go through, or just pick a random one each week. Or
why don't you just pick today's?
Whatever.
Okay, so this came off the back of, didn't it, Danny? Yeah, someone messaged you saying, basically wondering who our audience is for the podcast, because
who's your audience?
Yeah, because we need to, I guess we target new people, don't we? We're not,
there's a huge amount of assumed knowledge maybe from our point of view now, probably, that people
that we should take it back to basics,
know a lot about Bitcoin or are involved.
We're talking about the news, what's happening in the news, which sometimes can be technical, sometimes can be more in-depth. So yeah, it's confusing. We do talk about things outside of Bitcoin like we've done today, but that has an effect and impact on it. So maybe we're not going to get into the basics of CPI, but you know, maybe we need to at some point, I don't know. But with Bitcoin at least, yeah, we're going to go back to doing some basic segments so people can, newbies can start learning basic stuff.
Today's isn't out yet, but this is yesterday's.
Can we not use that one?
That was a good one.
I mean, if you want it, yeah, go on then.
We'll just pick one.
Just try to pick which Danny ones, which one.
Yeah. I just thought we were just saying about, I was saying.
Sorry, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, completely not about Bitcoin.
The true country.
I think that was a good one because that word gets flared about in this podcast a lot.
It does.
You see it all the time to my friends and they're like, what are you talking about?
Go back, we'll use that one. That's contradicting everything.
So there's this website, what's this website called? Bite-sized Bitcoin, little Bitcoin facts every day.
Our own website.
Very basic stuff, just like an educational piece, right?
Yeah.
So you get emailed a Bitcoin fact, is that?
Yep, like, you can sign up and it'll come to your inbox, but it's a fact today about Bitcoin broken down into small chunks so people can learn.
Okay.
So today's one, we're going to talk about not about Bitcoin, like I've just said.
Yeah.
What is fiat currency?
So if you scroll down, should that actually explain what fiat translates into? What's it?
Well, yeah. Should, at the very top. Have you ever used this website?
I'm a very, very busy person.
Should read that out to people listening rather than chatting about it?
Go on then. I'll read it out.
Go on then.
Fiat currency is money issued by a government central bank.
So,
by the way, that I don't like the way that's written. Fiat currency is money issued by a government central bank. Okay.
No, I think, yeah, you just said it.
Yeah, I just, yeah.
You just said it exactly the same.
Yeah, no. Could that be a bit? No, it doesn't matter about it.
This is the worst explainer of what.
All right, crack on then. Yeah, that's very for this podcast, though, isn't it?
So people in our industry, we use fiat as a terminology for money issued by a government central bank. So pounds, dollars, euros, etc., they are fiat currencies. Mm-hmm. Fiat currency, yeah, the word fiat was not really, I don't know if it was a thing before Bitcoin or whether it just kind of came around because of that.
I've never heard of it.
A lot of people in the traditional financial world didn't really understand what that was until it came up in Bitcoin conversations. It'll be hard to find the history.
It comes from the Latin word, let it be done. It's like an order thing. So it's...
Oh.
It's like...
I think it was pre-Bitcoin. I think it's just not
used. I might
just
start around using the word fiat in the terms of let it be done. Like, oh, can you drive me here, fiat?
So we're just literally using that term just to differentiate between Bitcoin, cryptocurrencies, and the currencies that you know in everyday life in the world, pounds, dollar, euro, etc.
But like you say, we use it all the time now, but before working here, never heard it, never used it.
It was just a car to me.
Yeah. So that is like...
Fiat always getting abused.
Yeah, that is like one word that is kind of a barrier to someone outside of the industry, right? Even traditional financial people don't use it.
Is it just a Bitcoin and TradFi thing? Like, it's not used for anything else except to explain the difference between...
I don't actually know where it comes from. This is a terrible explanation because we don't know where it comes from. The history of the term, I don't know. I know.
Well, you could have money not issued by a government central bank, right? I could just create a money and issue it myself.
It wouldn't be
legal tender.
Yeah, but it wouldn't be fiat then at that point.
Yeah.
I don't know. The definition is what we've kind of explained.
Let's keep it simple.
I know from history, people that have worked in banking for 20 years has then come into our industry and didn't know what fiat money was.
Wow.
And that wasn't a thing to them. So it wasn't a term used. And I think even people outside of the finance world, just in the general man on the street, I don't think I've ever met one that knows what fiat is.
It's branded about a lot in our industry. And all we're talking about really is just government issued monies that people are used to. GBP, dollar, euro, they're all fiats.
Yeah. Simple explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Dave. That's very good. Just snip that bit up and don't
play the rest. Edit out all the other bits.
Please do. Not me trying to read it and not seeing the apostrophe.
Okay, right. Come back next week for another fun Bitcoin fact.
Are we going to do that every week?
Yep.
That was terrible.
Maybe we need to...
We'll fine-tune it.
Maybe we'll refine that slightly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Next topic. And next question.
I've got questions. Okay, so this comes from...
I was reading a lovely book about the history of legal tenders, by the way, in terms of where that's built up from. But I won't go into it because it's...
Just call this bit out.
It's slightly dry.
Might be the driest in terms of
the trust issue. Like you were talking about, you could make your own. Mm. You could make your own currency, and why legal tenders became a thing because it's all about trust, really. And actually, putting a royal stamp on it is just to signify trust.
Mm.
And then it became about who ends up controlling it. It's just a legacy control, and why they had assay offices and stuff, and why the gold content became very
prescient.
Yeah.
But, all right. No, I just.
I'm interested.
No, it's okay.
We'll go into it off air.
Off air. Okay, so we've got a couple of Dear Daves. From our new Telegram group, which I will come back onto in a little bit.
Not on that yet.
I know. We're waiting for you, Dave.
Okay.
We're waiting for you. Thanks, guys, for these questions. I said we would answer them if we got time. So, first one talks about the ETN. Nick said how that is awful. But he wants us to talk about it.
Yeah, I don't know what his angle. I don't know what the angle is for that at the moment, unfortunately. So I don't.
We don't know too much about it.
Are you not doing any editing of these questions? You're just going to read them all out.
Just going straight.
I think we just edit. Just go through them quickly.
Okay. Why haven't we adopted Nostra?
Hang on, we didn't even comment on the ETM one. But
you said you needed to.
I don't know why he's saying is it awful. I don't know. Is it because
there was a bad word and then I wasn't going to read that out.
You don't self custody. You don't have real exposure to big. I don't know what the angle is there, but it's the same as effectively the ETF. There's slight technical differences as we've already touched on, but I don't know if there's anything. I don't really have much more to say.
Well, you're talking about it's the same with the ETFs, the seizure issue.
Yeah, which kind of.
Oh, we never got
onto that.
That was
pretty pot.
Yeah.
That's pretty
debate that we said we'd bring to the pod.
Now at the end of the pod,
that's all we've given it is a sentence because we were too busy sweeping up a chart.
Should have been.
It was 20 minutes on a chart.
Tied into the sailor one, but didn't get onto it.
Oh, well.
Okay, let's move on.
Right, we'll cover that. Okay, yeah, why haven't we adopted Nostra?
Is anyone on Nostra? I'm not on Nostra.
I joined it.
Odell is.
Odell clearly is.
I've used it.
Shouting at people.
I just don't bother with it.
Okay. You're fine. Yeah, Molly, you're still on Nostra then?
Not actively. I have an account.
I think that, we've talked about it in the past. I don't know if a decentralized social network is the best use of Nostra. When people say Nostra, they think of like the Twitter alternative, but it's actually just a protocol or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just an echo chamber of Bitcoin. I don't think there's anyone outside of the Bitcoin industry.
Which is fine. I think Molly's right with that. But that's fine. Go and do that, which is all good, and you can have good conversations. But I think what we do as a company, we're trying to bring in the man on the street in some respects and educate them. So we're not going to reach them on Nostra either. So our time and resource and energy is potentially better spent reaching outside of that bubble and echo chamber. So that's why I'm not on it, because I have a lot of time.
Fair enough.
Cool. Next question. What's next from Coin Corner? It has been quiet? Yes, we have been quiet, but we're not quiet.
Externally, maybe it has seemed quiet, but geez, I'm on my last legs.
I think it's been quiet from a lot of companies over this last sort of 6 to 12 months because there's just been
a bear market we're just building
around here.
Here we were, the flood of releases that we're about to unload on.
We do have a few.
Everyone, we're going to drown you in releases.
Yeah, the great flood all over again.
Yeah. Like the
get your all credit
paid.
Apologies, we've been quiet.
Just busy, very very busy.
There's always a lot going on.
Yeah. Anyway, there's stuff coming, right? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, there's stuff coming. We've been incredibly busy this year, haven't we? We've doubled the team size. We've moved offices. We've been working on products behind the scene. It's just fair market mentality.
Everything around that. Yeah. We've got multiple licenses, regulations coming. There's a lot of background work.
Yeah. So be prepared. We'll be very loud soon.
No, we won't. We're not very good at announcements historically. No. So
I thought you were about to slack the market.
I don't do that anymore.
Recurring line of payments.
The best one ever, but. Okay, some announcements coming up, but they'll be low-key.
I think our best one's been the bulk card.
No, the best one's been the recurring lightning payment.
No, the bulk card.
All right.
The bulk card.
We'll just disagree on that one.
You can't disagree. The interaction and the views and everything.
I can disagree.
You can disagree.
We get out free t-shirts. No,
facts tell you otherwise.
Where's your bulk card t-shirts? Can't see it.
Maybe we shouldn't. That comes on to
that comes on to this one, which is any plans for future Coin Corner merch?
Boy, there we go. Let's release the lightning recurring lightning t-shirt. Get it on the store.
Yeah, we've always been hesitant, haven't we, for Coin Corner branded merch? Because, I don't wear other companies' merch.
No,
I wear Bitcoin stuff, but I wouldn't wear
You wouldn't wear Coinbase.
HSBC
t-shirt, or you wouldn't wear a HelloFresh cap or something. You know, it's just not a thing. You wear brands, so you wear like Nike and Adidas and like that sort of thing.
That thing is merch though, isn't it?
But they are a brand. Clothing. You're wearing it for the brand. Other companies in any other industry, you don't really wear their brands.
I don't know if it's slightly different.
Greg's. You're going to love this. Have you seen the Greg's ones?
Greg's clothes are good.
They were selling.
They did it with Primark.
They're popular. They were selling them at like festivals and everything.
They've got Crocs. They've got everything.
Yeah. But that became a trend thing.
Oh, we can't. I was about to say giveaways. We can't do that, can we? But they're cool.
The Greg's Crocs,
are they? Greg's vest.
That just became a thing as a trend.
I know.
But it's not a long term thing, is it? It's just a fad. It's just like with anything.
It's getting your brand out there in some way. We do the Bitcoin socks. So we've always said with the t-shirts, the caps, things like that, we were trying to do things that more people will use on a daily basis and daily life. That's actually useful. and it's not Coin Corner branded all over it, because people then generally
I think a lot of people want a Coin Corner hoodie. It's because you compared it to banks, but it's not about that. It's more about what it represents.
But Bitcoin represents more than Coin Corner.
Yeah,
so
true.
I would rather Bitcoin be what they're wearing than Coin Corner, because people will also know and associate Bitcoin with something. They might not have heard of Coin Corner.
But okay, it also says something about you if you're a Coin Corner user rather than a Coinbase user.
But other people that are seeing that will have no idea.
But that's not what it's about sometimes.
They're not wearing it for other people, they're wearing it for themselves, right?
It's like the motorbike brands do it a lot, do they not?
They're brands, aren't they?
Ducati stuff. Like they have their bike and you're identifying. It's still
a
motorbike.
That's like a Porsche, your Lamborghini, and you wear the caps and stuff.
But you're still identifying yourself with that
manufacturer.
Yeah. Rather than walk around in a Peugeot t-shirt. Big difference.
I gotta take mine back.
And if there were, did you just mention the Jazz?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
We gotta look for our catalytic converters.
Yeah. Me and Mikey would be wearing Honda Jazz matching.
Again, that's solid. You can get your t-shirts done.
We go.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I think with our marketing, like if you look at what we did for Oxford City as well, Bitcoin always comes first. You know,
all right, but yeah, okay. If you had enough people saying, "I'd love a hoodie," how many would it have to take?
I mean, how many would I get signed off by you? Because ultimately, you're the one who pushes back on.
Well, we're selling them anyway, so it wouldn't be an issue. It's probably not. We've got to build the site. But don't get me wrong, we could add it to like the Mount Socks.
You'd have to add stuff,
but we'd have to be adding it and doing it through that way, which is just it's time, it's prep. What are we doing it for? Maybe I don't know. Maybe it's something to explore. We've not got caps, but Zach has the one and only cap.
I'm not a cap guy.
Zach got that made for himself.
Did you make that yourself?
Yeah.
He didn't hand stitch it himself.
That's how much he loves Coin Corner.
Yeah. I know he has made that himself and done that himself. And where's it? Maybe we could. Maybe it's somewhere to visit. We're not focused on that. We're more focused on Bitcoin, I guess, and helping drive that.
Okay.
Is
that it for questions?
There's one more. Lots of chats. About 40% of miners using Coinbase. Personally, it's probably a big nothing, but they use for compliance reasons. It's not really a question.
CB, doesn't it? But that means the Coinbase from when a block's mined and the Coinbase transaction is going to the same place, which is actually Kobo, is it?
Kobo Vault, yeah, by the looks of it. Don't know too much about this.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to do some research, though, maybe for next week, but...
The only thing people are saying there, so 49% of the miners, so all the new Bitcoin being mined is effectively all going to the same custodian, is what they're saying, which is this Kobo Vault. Which is that a worry? People are just highlighting it. You know, is that a worry? Theoretically, yes, it's all centralized under one custodian, and 49%. It doesn't mean they have any control or power over the miners in any way.
No,
That's a different conversation. Yeah. So it's not really in the same realm of,
because most of them are pools. They're all pools anyway. So obviously there's individual miners pointing to the pools, so they can choose where they want to go.
So it's not the 49% thing. Is just, I feel like they've tried to associate that with the 51% thing, which is not
to get people worried.
It's not anything to bother with.
Okay.
Well, I think mining. This is why we like Ocean, for example, because they're helping to decentralize mining a bit more. I think the more decentralized mining can be, the better. Obviously, I don't think there's a counterpoint to that. So,
and really, this isn't a mining. This, what they're talking about here with the Kobo Vault, is not a mining issue. It's a centralized custodian issue.
Yes,
you've got your BitGos and your Fireblocks, and then Kobo Vault, where ETFs are all
same with ETFs. Yeah,
all in Coinbase, which obviously then they're going to look to start distributing, I'm sure, over time. But
I do wonder why they've decided on Kobo.
I don't know why.
Is it just a better product than all the others for miners?
Well, I did wonder when it says 49%. Is that like three mining pools?
There's like seven, I think.
Is it seven?
Something like that, pools. Yeah. There's quite a few.
I don't know. Maybe it's they just offered the best offering for them people and managed to pull them in as clients. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
The worst part is, why don't the mining pools do it themselves? Mm. Why don't they run their own infrastructure? Why don't they do that? Because it's... The mining pool, like, you've got to think they've got tech savvy enough people to be able to do that. Can't be that.
Well, that's the one thing is, like, someone was it speculation or was it like there's some, they're all white labeling one thing which is already integrated or that kind of thing.
Okay.
Which may be in mining,
might
to be
the
fair
thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Cool. That's all the questions, I think.
the runes protocol we'll come back to because we haven't read anything about that. Don't know anything about
I know it's launching on halving day, is it, apparently? That's all I know.
Okay. Should I bring that one up in a couple of weeks then? Yeah. When you guys have
9 days.
Right up. 9 days.
We'll have a read of it at some point.
Mm. Okay, cool.
Was my halving prediction bang on, by the way?
Yeah, whose was?
So we made on the pod. I think I'm within hours.
Mike, you've recorded hours. I think, have you, from...
I can still change. I think I'm within minutes of it.
I think, I don't know.
Second.
Pretty sure I think I might.
I think Danny got the right month.
Someone definitely got the wrong month.
I think Danny got the wrong month. I'm within minutes.
Anyway, I honestly can't remember what I said.
Yeah, you got the wrong month.
Did someone say May? Someone might have said May.
I feel like maybe.
But I hope he's got the wrong month. No, because I said it was going to be sooner.
I think me and you might have gone May and Danny.
No. He went March. He went March. I said 17th of April.
I would have gone earlier than it should have been.
Yeah. Definitely. I don't think we went May. Anyway.
Right. Okay. A couple of other things to quickly mention.
Sorry.
God, sorry. So those questions came from our new Bitcoiners Telegram group, which people can join. I mean, Dave, it'd be nice if you joined.
Dave's trying to join. He heard Telegram, thought he meant it's the physical kind of.
I got the new Telegram.
Just a place to ask questions or suggest topics or continue the conversations that we're having on the podcast. Myself, Danny, Zach, Mikey, and soon to be Dave are in there. Come and join. There's Cheat Code Conference towards the end of this week. We've got a couple of guys from the team going to that. So if you see them, say hey. And
please don't say like that.
Next week, for any Isle of Man people listening, we've got a Bitcoin halving meetup on the Wednesday at the Ellen Bannon Hotel and the Bar.
We nearly nailed it then. 2 days off. It's going to be next Friday, is it, actual halving?
Oh, well, we've got special guest, Joe Nakamoto, joining us for it. So
is it? No, I thought it was really close. I thought it was closer than that.
It's next Friday.
2 days before.
It's Friday.
Oh.
So
9 days away. You only said that ten times this episode.
True, I've said that loads. When's this halving thing?
Next Wednesday.
Wednesday.
I thought that was a 7 days. Two less than 9 days.
I thought it was different days.
A week today.
I can't go if it's a Wednesday. But anyway.
Cheers, mate.
Let's just close this off.
Yeah, 5 to 7 at the Ellen Bannon Hotel.
Right.
Who accept Bitcoin so you can buy drinks, food, whatever with Bitcoin there. Hope to see you there.
Cool.
Cool.
Thanks, guys.
Cool. See you next week.
Peace.